2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Our continuing coverage right now of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine pause. Just heard from the Utah County Health Department. They're shifting appointments from Johnson & Johnson. You're going to get Pfizer, and they're not going to change your appointment date. In the next few minutes, we're also going to hear the latest from the Salt Lake County Health Department, and we're going to talk to a nurse, Dave, who was part of the J&J trial. I want to know, were they informed of the possibility of blood clotting that we're now seeing in these six patients or six women who received the vaccine in the United States?
And how is this going to affect the rest of Utah? Yeah. I just heard from the Davis County Health Department, and they said they were operating the Layton Clinic with Johnson & Johnson, but they exhausted that supply, and they don't have any plans to receive new shipments from Johnson & Johnson, so this doesn't really affect Davis County at all.
Our producer, Caitlin Johnston, was in communication first thing this morning with the Department of Health here in Utah, and they sent us a statement saying that Johnson & Johnson in Utah is on pause. Of course, a lot of folks in Salt Lake County signing up for appointments probably signed up for Johnson & Johnson, but maybe not. Caitlin, what did you find out from the Salt Lake County Health Department?
Yeah, the latest I heard from Nicholas Rupp this morning, he let me know that they're generally not using the Johnson & Johnson for the general public, but more so reserving that one for the single-dose vaccine for those who might have difficulty getting a second dose. For example, those experiencing homelessness, just making it easier on them. Yeah. So I'm not sure how much this will affect the population within Salt Lake County.
With the general population, but it does certainly impact getting the vaccine in arms of those people experiencing homelessness, Dave, because in many cases, those folks would not be able to return for a second dose. So this pause could certainly impact those individuals.
If you look at what we've done in the state so far, at least 1.1 million Utahns have received at least one dose of Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna. But there's been about 1.7 million total vaccines administered. So you've got people that are fully vaccinated, some that are still on their first dose. But at least for the near future, at least the next week or so, we know that Johnson & Johnson will not play a role.
Johnson & Johnson, we've heard, is a one-dose regimen. That's what we've been talking about. Nurse Angela Kennington from Utah, lives here in Utah, is part of the Johnson & Johnson two-dose trial. Wanted to get her on the line because, good morning, Nurse Kennington.
Hello.
We wanted to know.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. We wanted to know if there was anything that you experienced during the trial or any information that you were given that foreshadowed a potential for a blood clotting issue.
Yeah, so if everyone remembers right, back in the phase three of the one-dose regimen trial for Johnson & Johnson, there was a brief pause on the study. On October 12th, Johnson & Johnson came out and said out of their 60,000 participants that they had one incident of a severe or an illness issue. They didn't divulge a lot of information at that time due to HIPAA privacy issues. But they did point out at that time, you know, that when you're studying 60,000 people, that's like a small village and that events are bound to happen. It was one isolated event that was very, very looked into. And on October 23rd, the one-dose regimen trial resumed. So when I got in the study in December, we did receive like a 38-page explanation of everything that the study would entail. And after that event, there was a part put in the paperwork that I received prior to my trial that said that there was one study participant that did develop a condition that was a blood clotting condition, that it had been looked into very aggressively, and that it was determined at that time that it was not caused by the vaccine, but that you know, they owed that explanation to us to also say that it couldn't necessarily be ruled out. And when you're in part of a study, you know, you're, they got to give you everything out there. Just like Dave was talking earlier today, everything that we have in our medication cabinets, all of those, you know, this can cause this. And so I was made aware of that. And I do remember looking into the October pause because of that, because I wanted to make sure I was fully informed before I decided to do the study.
How are you feeling right now? Are you a little bit nervous that you, quote unquote, took a chance?
So I really dove into like what my gut feeling was about everything before I did the study. Being a nurse, I have felt very helpless through a lot of this. I have friends that were working on the front line in the ICU. Sorry, I hope I don't get emotional about this. But to me, being in this study was a way that I could help. And I felt so helpless through the time. I've thought a lot today, would I still do it? And I did know about this. I mean, this was a 1 in 60,000 person that it had happened to when I signed myself up to do it. And I would absolutely do it again today because of that. My daughter, actually, she's 22, and she did get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine about 3 weeks ago. And it allowed me to see her sooner because we've been isolating away from that. I've just appreciated the goodness that has came from it, and it will be interesting to see what comes out, but I think them being ethically proactive is definitely the best thing to do, but I think everyone, like, shouldn't run in panic at this point any means
and
either.
We're talking to Nurse Angela Kennington of Utah, and she's part of the Johnson & Johnson trial, the two-dose trial, and we got her on the line because we had heard, and she'd talked to us a little bit about this, that there had been some foreshadowing of this blood clot issue that is now kind of culminating in the pause that the FDA and the CDC is recommending. And the Utah Department of Health has taken them up on that, pausing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for now. Nurse Kennington, this is affecting women. I mean, younger women. I think the ages are, you know, 50 and below. And we don't know exactly why. But certainly, it gives me pause as a woman. I'm over 50, but did you consider that at all, that somehow this could potentially affect you differently than maybe a man who's in the study the same age?
Not really when I saw the explanation because, you know, again, due to HIPAA and then that it being such an isolated event. We still, I mean, to this second, I have no idea of like the gender or the age of that person. Hormones, I was listening to the doctor speaking with you guys earlier today, and hormones do play an interesting role in things. But another interesting thing to note is we are vaccinating like the whole adult population right now for the first time ever in our whole adult lifetime. And women of those ages do tend to have blood clots from things related to birth control and stuff like that. And so there are hormonal issues related to women that age that we just think, I think that it needs to be looked into a lot more before we could say it was related to that, because we're literally vaccinating the whole world right now. So we're going to run into things, and it's smart to pause and look at those things as we run into them.
Angela Kennington, thank you so much for joining us. Such incredible perspective is in the Johnson & Johnson trial. And she said, Debbie, she knew about the possibilities of blood clotting when it was a 1 in 60,000 chance, and she still did it willingly, said she would do it again.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.